Good morning, everyone. Please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 16 this morning. Luke chapter 16. Thank you, Robbie, for giving us both the correct pronunciation and the alternate pronunciation of that passage. It's good to be with you this morning. It's good to have another opportunity to come and celebrate Jesus and to celebrate His Lordship in our life and to celebrate and rejoice in the salvation that is in His name and only in His name. It's great that we have opportunity to have visitors among us, and we're so thankful for your presence here with us and thankful for any opportunity we get to meet you, spend some time with you, and encourage you and be encouraged by you. You've already encouraged us just by being here, and we look forward to more opportunity to get to know you. It's a beautiful day outside and a great day to be able to come and lift our collective voices of worship and praise, and just another great opportunity to be able to do that together. I can remember different periods in my life where I would go through things, and sometimes difficult things, sometimes easy things, and then when you get to the end of that period, and you look back, you can kind of easily see how events, one event led to another, how maybe this was a mistake that you made along the path, and looking back, you wish you had kind of done that differently, or seeing some kind of success that you had, and realizing that the time and effort and practice and energy that went into achieving that success and seeing that and using that as a life lesson to go forward into the next major thing or period of your life. And we might have several of these. We can have periods of childhood that we go through difficult things or go through just different periods of time, and we come through to the other side of that and are able to look back and kind of reflect on what has happened and kind of measure it and see what lessons need to be filed away for future events. And then we move on from childhood, and maybe high school is a period like that, and you get to the end of that and graduation day and looking back and seeing the friends that you've made, the mistakes that you made along the way, and to see some successes as well. College can be like that. Your first job, getting into dating and marriage, and looking back after that first year of marriage and kind of taking an assessment of where you are. And we do this with just life as a whole as well. Like we said, there may be many periods of time that we come to the other side and have a chance to look back and reflect. But then when we get to the end of our lives, we kind of take inventory of all the things that have happened, all the different many periods of time that our life has been broken down into, and looking back and reflecting on the things that we've done, the things that we've said, the things that we left undone or unsaid, that maybe we wish we had done something differently. I don't know about you, but for the better part of this week, my attention has been with the story in the news of the passengers on the sub that went down to try to view the wreckage of the Titanic. And kind of the story that we all were maybe holding out hope for was that these five men were alive, and maybe there was just this race against time to try to locate them and bring them back home safely to their families. And throughout that time, you know, I kind of imagined these five men sitting by themselves in this vessel, And as each hour passed, them having that time to reflect back on their lives. And you know, this week has been kind of a crazy one, because as people have thought about that story, there's been a wide variety of reactions to it. I mean, some people have mockingly joked about these men who have all this wealth that they can just blow money in this kind of way. There have been people who've noted just the irony of two vessels going down in the exact same spot. There's just been so many different kinds of reactions, and clearly, you know, sadness and loss and care for the families involved has certainly been among them. But I had this picture in my mind of these five men having all of this time down there to take inventory and to look back and see what's most important. And I can almost guarantee that, having not been there and don't know their minds, but I am a human, and so I kind of understand human nature in that sense that we all do. I can almost guarantee you that their money is not something that they thought about. And as it turns out, and as we got later in the week, evidence seems to appear that they passed away without even having time to know that they had passed away. But that still doesn't change the fact that they now have time to look back from the other side and take inventory and reflect on their lives. And I guarantee you their money was not one of the thoughts that they had. I bet they could not care less who is elected president in the next election. Wasn't even a thought. It didn't even cross their mind whether Trump was going to run again, or this person's going to run, or that person's going to run, and boy, we got to get this thing turned around, or man, we got to keep this thing going. None of that was among their thoughts whenever, if they had time to sit there and reflect about their lives and their situation. Their businesses and the successes and failures of business, not even remotely close to what was going on in their minds. Most likely, if they were normal human beings, they thought about their families. They thought about what was going to happen with them. They thought about what mistakes maybe they had made in unclaimed time with family and friends. Maybe they had some time to regret some of the final conversations that they had with people who they were close with. Maybe they took some time to reflect on their soul and the condition of it, and what might happen in the case of loss. And all of those thoughts, it is normal for us as human beings to think those things. In Luke chapter 16, we have a story that Jesus told, and that it perfectly illustrates exactly what we're talking about here, about what is just natural human emotion. In chapter 16 of the Gospel of Luke, in verse 19, it says, "There was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus, who was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. You see human nature in this story. The idea that when we come through on the other side of something, whether it be a softball season that you coached or played in, and you look back and think about, oh, I wish we had gotten this right or that right, I wish we had done this thing. It could be a big test that you're preparing for, and you get to the other side, and maybe you didn't do as well as you wanted to, or maybe you get to the end of college and you think, oh, you know, I'm not happy in this career. I wish I had done something differently. It could be any number of things. We come through on the other side and look back, and maybe we have some feelings of accomplishment in the successes that we enjoyed. Maybe we have regret of mistakes that we've made. But it seems like this is what happens at the end of people's lives, or when we come out on the other side in this case, having the time to reflect back and see what we wish we had done differently, or maybe the concern that we might have for those that we are leaving behind. And this man is doing that in this story. Looking back, and now he's remembering all the times that he likely saw Lazarus sitting there at his gate, covered in sores, watching the dogs lick him, maybe even having Lazarus ask him for some food because he was hungry, and realizing that he did nothing to help this person who laid at his gate. And now that the tables have turned, now he is wanting that rest and satisfaction that he refused to give to Lazarus. And he's realizing these mistakes at this point and filled with regret. And now he starts to turn his attention to his family. His family's on the same path that he was on. And now he has that concern. They can't come here. Abraham, you've got to send somebody to tell them not to come to this same place. I don't want my family to join me here. I imagine that many of these thoughts, if there was time for those passengers on that vessel to think about their lives and take inventory and stock of them, I imagine that these are some of the thoughts that they would have been thinking. And so we know that, right? We understand that. So why do we wait until near the end to go through that thought process? To look at our lives and look at the things that maybe we have made priorities in our lives and realize that we are out of balance. Why do we wait until it's happening to us in order to start taking life seriously? And realizing that there are things that are more important, vastly more important than maybe the things that we have prioritized ourselves. And so you get to the end of your life, and I've heard this a couple of different times, people who are nearing the end of their life, and maybe they're in the hospital, and I've gone in and visited with them, and I've heard them say things like, I sure hope I've done enough for God to save me and bring me into heaven. And the somewhat difficult answer to that is, you haven't. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter what you've done. It's not enough. It's not enough to earn it. It's not something that you have checked enough boxes. Therefore, God has no choice but to accept you and bring you to his heavenly abode. When Paul got to the end of his life in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. There's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. He's going to give me a crown of righteousness as soon as I pass away. I'm going to get this crown. Paul's not speaking on his own merit. He's not speaking on the fact that I've done three journeys, a journey to Rome. I've been in prison. I've spent a couple of nights in the ocean. I've been through shipwrecks. I've been beaten all these times for the glory of God. That's not where Paul's confidence rests. And we know that in 2 Timothy because earlier in the book, in chapter 1 and verse 12, he says, I know the one whom I've believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day. His confidence is not in his own merit, but it is in the one who has the power to raise the dead. And that's something that Paul learned throughout his life. Those are some lessons, some hard lessons that he had to learn. Remember when he wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and he talked about his time in Asia? We were burdened excessively. Beyond our strength, we were not capable of handling the burdens that God allowed to be placed upon us. And you've heard me say this before. That phrase, God won't allow you to go through more than what you can handle, it's not in the Bible. In fact, the opposite is true. God will absolutely allow you to be burdened beyond what you are capable if he thinks that's what you need in order to learn this lesson, which is the same lesson that Paul had to learn. Stop trusting in yourself and start trusting in God who raises the dead. And when you get to the end of your life, don't be thinking about, have you done enough? Have you served faithfully enough? Have you completed enough of the tasks that he has required you to complete? Have your confidence in knowing that God is gracious and God is merciful and God is able to take the things that you have entrusted to him and to keep them and to honor them, and he will be faithful to his promises. Right? Now, are we to be faithful? Yes, absolutely. Are we to be faithful until death? Yes. But even if we are as faithful as we can possibly be, my point is this. It will still not be enough to earn it. It will only be by his grace that we are saved in the end. And my hope in kind of talking through these concepts is to get us to start taking inventory now. And not waiting until we come upon a near-death experience. And then that causes us to look back on our lives. But to start looking back now. Start taking a snapshot inventory of where you stand today. Do you focus a little bit too much on work? Maybe a little bit more than you should? Do you think maybe you should spend a little bit more time with your spouse, with your kids, with your grandkids? Do maybe you worry a little bit too much about what's going on in the world around us? The world of politics, the world of sports, whatever the case may be for you, whatever your tendencies are, whatever it is that you are drawn to. Do you think maybe if you wait a few more years, you'll wish that you had tried harder to get rid of that sin habit that you're holding on to? It's not going to get any easier to let go of, right? 20 years from now, it's not going to get any easier to get rid of that sin habit. Why not take account of that today? Reese, I need you to sit up. Sit still, bud. It's not going to get any easier. So why would we wait? Why would we wait until the end? Well, because we're humans and that's human nature, isn't it? Because we don't want to take inventory. You know, I told you last week that I went on a trip and didn't have a sermon to prepare, and you knew what that meant. That meant that I was going to self-reflect, and I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to self-reflect because if I self-reflect, usually I'm finding things about my life and about my attitude and about my heart that I don't like, that are ugly and need to get cleaned up and need to be changed. There's no fun in self-reflection. So let's put that off. And then when we get to the end of our lives, we spend time in regret. Time in fear. Fear that maybe we've taken this small vapor of a window of our time that we've been granted here on this earth, and we've wasted it, or we've not utilized it in the best ways. And so if we know that at the end of our life, we're going to wish that we spent more time with our families, we're going to wish that we spent more time with our kids, we're going to wish we didn't stress so much about work and school and what's going on in the economy and what's going on in the other areas and spheres of our lives that we put so much time and emphasis in. If we know at the end, we're going to wish that maybe we had done some things differently. Why not start today? Why not start now? Because so often the case is that by the time that we've come out on the other side, it is too late. When those five men went down in that sub, it was too late for them to do anything differently. It was too late for them to say anything that they had left unsaid. Communication was lost. No one would have even heard it on the other end. It's too late to change any decisions of their lives. Abraham is having to tell this rich man, it's too late. You had all of that time. You had all of that time in your life when you habitually dressed in purple and fine linen and lived joyously in splendor every day. You had all that time to take notice, to look out there and see Lazarus and maybe think, there's something I can do for that man. There's some way that I can help him. And now that it's too late, you look across the canyon and there's nothing you can do for him now. He needs nothing from you now. He has everything that he could ever hope to enjoy and more. And from where you are, there is nothing that you can do to change these circumstances. And it will be this way forever. This is why the wise man said it's better for us to go to the house of mourning, to the house of feasting, isn't it? Because when we do that, we start to, just for a moment, contemplate our own mortality. Realize that there is going to be an end for all of us. And that happens regardless of age, regardless of the color of our skin, regardless of where we are in economic terms. This happens to all of us. And it's touched us all in different ways, I'm sure. Leisha, this weekend, never expected to be in Tennessee attending the celebration of life for a good childhood friend. He's 40 years old. Never an expectation. Sam and Clay's friends never expected to bury their daughter. Let's take inventory now. Let's not wait until it's too late. You've heard me say before, my mom used to torture my brother and I. Every single time. What's that song? You know what it is. The Living Years. You heard this song? Okay. I'm dating myself here a little bit. I have no idea when the song came out. Probably came out when you were a little boy, which was what? Around the time Titanic sank, something? Oh. But this song is about this son who didn't have a good relationship with his father, right? And he finds out that his father passed away. He wasn't there. And he starts to fill his mind with all the things that he wished that he had said to his father during the living years. And my mom would have tears streaming down her face because she knew my brother and I were in the back seat punching each other or doing something. We were mistreating each other somehow. And she would say, "I just hope that you boys will one day realize how much you need each other. Learn to appreciate each other." I mean, you know, you can just imagine how this conversation went. Every time the song came on the radio, and it seemed like there was some providential playing of the song at just the right moment for us to get that talk from Mom. And now I'm a parent. And while I don't have a song that plays on the radio often, what kinds of things do you think I say to my kids when they're arguing with each other or fighting or mistreating each other in some way? Because as we go along, we start to look back, and hindsight 2020 being what it is, we start to take inventory of things that we've experienced in our past. Let's do that more now, while we still have the time to make the correction in our lives. While we still have the time to say what needs to be said. While we still have the time to reach out across the aisle and reconcile with those where we've seen division. Maybe it's in our own biological families. Maybe it's right here in this church. We have the time today. And just like the five men that went down in that sub, there's no promise that we're going to come back. There's no promise of tomorrow. So let's skip this miserable scene for ourselves. And let's figure out what changes need to be made today. Let's do that as individuals. Let's do that as spouses. Let's do that as parents, as children, as extended families. Let's do that. Let's do that as a church. Take inventory of where we are. And in all those different circumstances of life, let's make the changes that need to be made. Let's do it today. So that we don't end up spending an eternity filled with regret over lost opportunities, lost time, lost relationships. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the day that you've given to us. We realize that it's the only promise that we have as far as time goes, is the moment that we're living in right now. We realize how short and how fleeting our lives are. It's described in Scripture as a vapor, just a quick puff of smoke that disappears just that quickly. We ask you, Father, that you first be with the families of those who've suffered loss this week, not just in the sub-tragedy, but just all the world over, those who are experiencing the loss of those that they love. And we pray, Father, that we would take very seriously the time that we have today to say what needs to be said, to do what needs to be done, to cut off and stop behaviors that need to be stopped. We ask you, Lord, to please forgive us for ways that we've misused and abused the time that you've given to us here on this earth. Please forgive us for the failures and the mistakes. Please pick us up and set us back on the right path so that we might walk in your light, strive to be committed to being faithful to you each day, so that we, like Paul, could say at the end of our lives with confidence, we know there's a crown waiting for us. And it's not because of our goodness, but because of your faithfulness that we can have that crown. We pray, Father, that you'll give us the resolve and the courage to make the corrections while we have the time. And bless our efforts as we